Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103,
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437, Bravo, for your dignitary detail. 3K911, unattended 400, lower level, near carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Row.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age, blue jeans, no further.
Control 5 Frank 401 is a route.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another live edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Today, you're listening to the LP Zone, the Loss Prevention Zone, where it's all about retail security. The LP officers and agents, the shopping mall security, retail investigators, and the ORC investigators, Organized Retail Crime. And that's actually what our show will be about today. We'll be talking about the new modern day mafia. You all, I'm sure, have heard tons about mafia and the mafiosa. But today, we'll be introducing you to a new type of modern day mafia. I'm your host for this show, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, a security and police association / organization. And we are glad to be on the air with you again on this Wednesday, the 29th of February, 2012. Well, right off the top of the bat, we have some sad and disheartening news to bring you. In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a Garda armor car guard has been killed by his partner. Police are looking for the suspect right now. Kenneth John Conias, 22, last known address was in Dravosburg, Pennsylvania. According to police, they believe that he is responsible for shooting security officer Michael Haynes, 31, of East McKeesport, Pennsylvania, in the head inside the Garda armored truck under a bridge yesterday afternoon in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Right now, there is a tri-state manhunt underway with multiple agencies, local, state, and federal, now involved in this. According to Commander Thomas Strudrecki, the commander of the Major Crimes Division, police do believe that the suspect, Mr. Conias, is armed heavily and dangerous and has at least two automatic, semi-automatic pistols. Police are not saying how much money was taken, but sources do say around $300,000 is missing from the armored car. That is extremely crazy. That is extremely local. Armored car security is extremely dangerous anyways. But who would expect, who would suspect, who would think, who would even fear their own partner? You're looking out for everyone else approaching you as you make your cash pickups and drop-offs. You're looking at everyone around you suspiciously. You're looking at every movement, every vehicle, every sound. You are watching out of the corner of your eye, the peripheral vision. But you never expect that your own partner would be the one who would kill you and then rob the armored truck. We are living in a crazy, crazy and dangerous world. More breaking news this afternoon. More than 33 security officers now shot, stabbed in the last 5 days. Just today, two security officers in California was added to that list. One security officer working on a tribal reservation was stabbed several times when a fight broke out with more than 40 people. Another security officer in Orange County, California was stabbed trying to stop a shoplifter in a shopping center. The security officer was unarmed, as many times they are. And he has undergone surgery recently, and he is in critical condition. But as I said, more than 33, 34, 35, it just, the numbers keep going up. And these were the ones that were the most seriously injured. Dozens of others over the last 5 days have been injured, assaulted in the line of duty. And here's what's frustrating. Here's what's aggravating to me. You try to tell security company owners. You try to tell clients. You try to tell law enforcement, politicians, and the community at large about the increased dangers of working in private security. And they don't believe you. They think it's a joke. They think you're exaggerating, you're overstating it, you're embellishing it, you're just, you know, worried over nothing. But the facts speak for themselves, and that's why it's so important that Private Officer International continues documenting every incident, every assault, every stabbing, shooting, or killing of any private security officer working on duty. So important that we continue to broadcast, to disseminate this information to our colleagues, our associates, and anyone willing and wanting to know the facts. Now, here's another negative, disgusting, aggravating situation that we have when we have weeks of violence in the security industry. Many security company owners delete their news alerts. They delete their links to our organization. They send emails that we shouldn't broadcast, we shouldn't alarm, we shouldn't put all this information out there to scare the security officer. Are you kidding me? Are you joking? This information needs to be out there. It needs to be out there much more than it is now. Even in our minimal efforts, we're not touching a half a percent of the private security officers that are actually working in this country and around the world. How can you, as an owner, manager, supervisor of a security agency, of a proprietary security department, be upset because we are sending the information out and getting people to understand, to realize that they need to prepare, they need to train, they need to be alert? How can that be an issue? How can that be a problem? Are you kidding me? That's what I don't understand. I wish I could sit down with every security company owner, manager, director, supervisor, and every client who employs, contracts, works with any contract security agency here in the U.S. to start with, and give them the information, show them the statistics. Explain to them the importance of getting the information across to those in the security industry, getting the information, the stats, the alerts of the danger out to everyone, and the reason why it's so important. I wish I could sit down and explain it to them one-on-one why our mission at Private Officer International grows every day. We're not going to back off, back away, stop doing what we're doing just because a few security company owners or managers don't want their people to know the dangers of the profession that they're in, the dangers of this part-time job that they're doing just to make ends meet, the dangers, the reality of the dangers. No matter what assignment you're working, no matter what city or state you're in, it doesn't matter if you're in Alaska, California, Maine, Florida, Connecticut, it doesn't matter, folks. For the last 6 or 7 years, law enforcement has seen their numbers of line of duty deaths increase just dramatically back up to where it was in the 70s and 80s, back in the 160-175 range. And private security, unfortunately, is closing in with 130, 140 killed in the line of duty. Come on, folks. Are you kidding me? This is real stuff. Get on the bandwagon. Be real with your personnel, because if they're injured or killed in the line of duty because of a lack of training, a lack of equipment, a lack of information and knowledge, guess who should be responsible? Not the person who pulled the trigger. Not the person who used the knife to stab him to death. Not the person behind the wheel who ran down the security officer. No, no. You should. You, the owner. You, the security director. You, the manager. You need to be responsible. You need to share the blame. Because all you thought about was the dollar. All you thought about was the billable hours. Let's share the information. Let's begin to train our personnel as law enforcement does. It doesn't matter the post, the site, the location, the possibilities of being injured, the possibilities of armed confrontation, the possibilities of active shooter, the possibility of death for private security is getting more and more real every day. It's not if something will happen, but when. Think about what I'm telling you. It's better not to shy away. It's better not to stick your head in the sand. It's better to acknowledge. It's better to prepare, to equip, to be ready. You owe it to yourself, and you definitely owe it to your employees. All right, well, I'm going to be off my soapbox now. But it's very frustrating to understand what's really happening, to see it every day come across our desk, to see the injuries, the deaths, to see the assaults. And so few are concerned. It's very tragic. All right, well, over the last few weeks here at the LP Zone, we have been talking about some really great stuff. We did a show a few weeks ago about being embedded within. We talked about the employees who either get a job for the purpose of theft or they find themselves in a comfortable position and they decide that you're an easy mark and they begin to steal from you. And that was a great show, and if you missed it, we really encourage you to go back and listen to it, especially if you are a retail loss prevention agent or investigator. On Monday's night show, we just did a short training, but an excellent one, on court testimony and preparing for court. As a loss prevention agent, you will definitely be called to court, both for civil trial and criminal trial. You are the representative of your company, and oftentimes when a shoplifter pleads not guilty, guess who has to go to court? You. If you are responsible for the arrest, apprehension, detention of that suspect, the prosecution, you are the prosecution's, you know, number one witness. So it's very important that you go back and listen to the court testimony training that was done on this past Monday night's radio program. Also, in retail loss prevention, mall security, you're probably going to be called at least a few times into civil litigation because someone's suing the store because they fell, because they were injured somehow on the property, and you did the investigation. You wrote the report. You were called to the incident. So be prepared. Be ready to testify. Have all of your ducks in a row. Go back to Monday night's program and listen to Preparing for Court and Court Testimony. It was a great show. Well, we do have a lot going on, and we just announced on this past Monday's program that we have a new division, and we're very excited about this. And if you are in loss prevention, retail security, or any type of security, and you're a female, well, guess what? This is just for you. We have a brand new division called Women in Security, and we've just introduced the chairperson, Tia Patterson, a security director for a regional hospital in North Carolina. She will be chairing this this group. And to kick it off, we have a conference call next Wednesday night, the 7th. If you'd like more information, go to our website at www.privateofficer.com. Click on the top of the page. There's a banner up there, and there's a whole bunch of information along with the call-in number, and we hope that you will join us for that conference call. Anytime that we're on the radio, you can email us at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. Please, you know, if you want to send us some news, some training events, happenings in your area, you want us to broadcast a promotion, feel free to do that either for the Monday or the Wednesday program, no charge. You can also follow us on the web simply by going to our main website at www.privateofficer.com, www.privateofficer.com. And right there you can link on our news. You can link on our Facebook. You can link right there from our homepage to our Twitter. And we have a great forums. If you're not part of the forums, join us. You can go to our link to the forums right off the main page. A lot of spectacular stuff, free training, videos, people from here across the country and around the world on the forums. It's a great networking, a great support system if you are in the private security profession. We have tons of stuff happening there. But that's how you can get in touch with us. That's how you can follow us. And, of course, you can also send us a general email to adminassist@privateofficer.com. adminassist@privateofficer.com. All right. Well, we got tons of stuff happening, as I was saying. And just the other day, I was looking at a site, and I saw something very interesting, and
David here, she works here, her friends are here, so
all our friends and family.
And that's different, we're kind of oddball anyway.
You know, they say you can find anything in Walmart, add love to that list. One couple got married this Valentine's Day in the store where they first met. You're used to hearing clean up in aisle three, but what about wedding in the layaway aisle?
Yeah, unusual, but for one couple from Brunswick County, they decided to tie the knot at their local Walmart. And WECT's Will Tapper shows us why the couple picked the unusual venue.
This is a first in many ways, and especially for the Walmart group here.
For Wayne and the new Susan Brandenburg, everyday low prices have led to happily ever after.
She was a cashier at the time, kept coming through and seeing her attractive. And my wife died about 7 years ago. And I asked her out one day, and for some reason she said yes, and it went from there.
They wanted to share their special moment with all their friends, and they wanted to do something different.
We were just sitting down drinking a cup of hot tea, and I didn't want to get married on the beach. Didn't want to get married at the house, and this is where I like to be.
And when I want you to look real good, right into her eyes, okay? Be true to her in all things until death alone shall part you. Do you so promise, and you'll answer, I do.
I do.
And Susan, you so promise, and you'll answer, I do. Wayne, you may kiss your bride.
Mr. and Mrs. Wayne Brandenburg.
It's different. It's not something I would do. But then I thought about it. They met here. It's perfect for them, and they're happy. Look how happy they are.
This is something we haven't had in the past. I've been here 13 years. So I was like, this is awesome. This is absolutely awesome.
Married at the Walmart. All right. Well, yeah. You can find it all right there at the Walmart. I've heard of others married in some bizarre and strange places, but Walmart, that's something else. Evidently, it suits them just fine. So, if you're ever at Walmart and you're looking for a wife and you find her at the store, you might want to remember that Walmart can also prepare your wedding. Congratulations to those two, and we hope that they have many years of happiness. And we're going to take a few minutes here for commercials, and we'll be right back.
I was just going to the grocery store.
Seatbelt violators, beware.
I forgot to put it on.
If you're pulled over because you've broken the law.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable.
And you're not wearing your seatbelt.
It's broken, but I was going to have it fixed.
No matter what your excuse is, you will get a ticket in addition to the ticket for your original violation.
Click it or ticket? That's pretty easy to remember.
HirePatriots.com is a free website where you can help our active, reserve, veteran military and their families by letting them help you. Do you have a chore that needs doing around your home or yard? Is your company looking for a new hire? Then post your jobs for free at HirePatriots.com. Visit HirePatriots.com and post your jobs today. HirePatriots.com.
We are back with you live today on the LP Zone, the Loss Prevention Zone, where it's all about retail security. You're listening to the LP Zone on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. We have tons of things happening, as I was saying earlier, just a lot of stuff happening in all areas. Number of chapters opening if you are in the Nashville, Knoxville, Charlotte, North Carolina, Lexington, also Richmond areas. You may want to join us. We hope that you will at the local chapter meetings. For more information, go to our website at www.privateofficer.com/chapters. Tons and tons and tons of stuff happening. Lots of training happening as well. If you're not a part of Private Officer International, we definitely want to encourage you to join today. We have more than 40 member benefits, lots of free training, tons of discounts on services, products, and training, and you will definitely get your money's worth, that's for sure. So join us today. Go to privateofficer.com and just sign up today. We've got several discounts still happening, and you can take advantage of those as well. We've got a number of trainings coming up, training events live and training on the internet. Right now we are finishing up the supervisor's training, but we will be kicking off a new five-part series on Tuesday, this Tuesday, how to be a person of influence, a better manager, a better employee, a better you. Kicks off Tuesday, March the 6th, 2012 at 8 p.m. It's free. It's right here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Be sure to catch that every Tuesday for the next 5 weeks as we go through a very excellent series that will help you to be a better professional and a person of interest, and we're very excited about having that. We're also putting the finishing touches on a number of live training events being held in Nashville, Charlotte, and Richmond, Virginia. You and the Law, this is an excellent training. It shows you about understanding the language of the law, how to escalate a charge to curb crime on your property, how to navigate the justice system, the law enforcement. You will not want to miss these live events. For more information, contact us at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Well, there's been a lot of concern lately. We actually talked about this about a year ago, I guess, and it's come back around. That is a concern for RFID, radio frequency ID. It's something that's embedded in a chip on everyone's credit card and debit card. And, you know, it's if you've ever gone to a store, a gas station, and taken your debit or credit card and just kind of passed it over, that is RFID, and it allows the customer, the consumer, to not have to swipe their card, but just kind of pass it over the scanner of the register or the gas pump, and it will automatically read the information on the coded bar in the back of the card. Well, unfortunately, RFID, the radio frequency ID, transmits radio code, radio signal that can be picked up very simply by a very inexpensive piece of equipment, less than $100. Now, many banks and financial institutions say that theirs are secure. They say that their RFID has there's no worries, that it has been embedded and encrypted, and it cannot be detected. However, a fraud investigator has shown that with some simple equipment that you can do it. You can get, scan those numbers off, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist.
There are questions tonight surrounding millions of debit and credit cards like this one. 13 Investigates has discovered a tiny device inside these cards that may be putting you at risk for fraud. Investigative reporter Bob Siegel shows you how to tell if your credit card is one of those affected and the simple steps you can take to protect yourself. Whether you're buying groceries or gas or dinner to go, nowadays you can just wave your card and you're on your way. It's the latest technology in millions of credit and debit cards, thanks to a tiny chip hidden inside. It's called RFID, radio frequency identification. This little device sends out a radio signal with your credit card information. It's designed to be a faster way to pay at stores all over town. But if you have one of these cards,
oh my gosh,
there's something else you should know.
That's just really scary.
That's crazy.
Definitely odd that that can happen.
Your credit card might not be as safe as you think it is.
With what I have here, I can get your credit card number, your expiration date, and everything I need to make a clone card.
Walt Augustinowitz is a credit card protection specialist. He bought this credit card reader off the internet for less than $100. And he's about to use it at the Indianapolis airport.
Oh. This is your credit card number right here.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Is it?
Wow, yes, it is.
Up.
Wow.
That's scary.
With permission, Walt is scanning for credit card numbers.
And there's your MasterCard.
That's pretty crazy.
He's intercepting the credit card information right off the radio chip inside.
Do you have an Amex in there?
Yes.
Yeah. Expiration 8/03/14.
Oh,
I just ran through there.
Oh,
now,
wow.
Rather than actually taking your credit card out of your wallet out of your pocket and stealing it.
That is my number.
That's your Visa number right there. We're scanning the information we need off it without touching you.
It's electronic pickpocketing. And Roberta Gonzalez just found out she's at risk.
Did you recognize that number on there?
Oh, that's my card. Yeah, that was my card.
Walt got information from three of Roberta's credit cards because all of them have RFID.
I heard about this, but I didn't think my cards were accessible to it.
I thought for sure, surely this is not possible.
It is possible, even if most consumers don't realize it.
Do you know if you've got a credit card that's got radio frequency technology in it?
No, I don't.
Here's what to look for. A symbol similar to this one on your credit card or debit card, it's a sure sign it has radio frequency identification. If your card says PayPass, PayWave, or Blink, it also has RFID. The nation's largest credit card companies all say radio frequency technology is very secure. Visa, MasterCard, and American Express sent statements to Eyewitness News, and all of them cite sophisticated fraud prevention, advanced capabilities, or powerful security to prevent misuse. And they say special safeguards mean even if crooks do intercept your credit card information, well, they can't do anything with it. But Walt disagrees.
They're wrong. There it goes.
Take a look at this. With permission from a credit card holder, Walt is taking information lifted from a radio frequency credit card and copying it onto his hotel room key. And watch what happens next. He takes the room key to a restaurant, and he uses it as a credit card.
Did I just see what I thought I saw?
Yes. Yeah, we took what we scanned off from that card, put it on my hotel room key, and just walked over to that store. Swiped it through, made a purchase. Nobody even asked any question why it was a room key. We've done it at big box retailers for several hundred dollars without a problem.
How easy is it?
Too easy. Way too easy.
With every new technology comes additional risk.
Joan Anticall is a security and privacy expert. She says it's not just credit cards that have radio frequency technology, but also passports and IDs used by many schools, private companies, and the government.
Is this a real risk? Is this something we need to really worry about?
I think it's a very big risk, actually. Over 1 billion cards have been issued with RFID chips in unencrypted form, and all of those cards are very vulnerable to attack.
And there's your PNC
yes.
Visa.
So what can you do to protect your credit cards? Walt has started a company that sells protective sleeves and wallets. But he says you don't need something fancy. Anything metal, even a piece of aluminum foil wrapped around your credit card, that'll block the radio signal and keep it safe from hackers. You can also tell your bank you don't want a credit card that has RFID.
That's just insane that's happening, that credit card companies are allowing that to happen.
This is real. You can't say, no, it can't be done when someone turns around and does it right in front of your eyes, and that's what we did. We did exactly what they said we can't do. This is a problem.
If you don't have a credit card with a radio chip in it, chances are you will soon. Right now, RF identification is in about a third of all credit cards, and that number is growing quickly. Want more information? Check out our website. We've got details on how to get a protective sleeve for your credit card like this one and what credit card companies want you to know about RFID technology. I'm Bob Siegel.
So this is something that we talked about last year, and it seems to have come back around as more and more financial institutions, agencies using RFID for identification cards, driver's license, banks and institutions using it for debit cards. It's a technology that is convenient to the consumer, but unfortunately, it's also risky. It's dangerous. Here you are traveling with these cards in your wallet or purse, going about your own business. Someone is able to walk by you with an electronic device in a briefcase or in a purse or in his hand, and all of a sudden, they have your information, your personal identification, your credit card or debit number very easily. As you heard in this soundbite, it can be downloaded to something as simple as a hotel key, a little piece of plastic with the same barcode strip in the back, can be loaded up and immediately turned into quick cash thanks to you and your credit card. Check your debit and credit cards. Check to make sure that they do not have RFID technology. And if they do, take precautions, whether it's buying one of those sleeves that they talked about that you insert your card in and carry, or you put a little bit of tinfoil around it to block the receiver. Take some precaution because this is definitely, definitely a real issue, a real problem. We thought last year that as the industry said that they were taking care of it, that they had secure technology, that it was, you know, a done deal and over with, but evidently it's still a problem as more and more companies issue these cards with that technology. So you might want to check your wallet, your purse, and see if you have some of those cards with the RFID, the radio frequency identification chip embedded within. And stay safe for sure. We are going to be talking here in a few moments about the modern-day mafia, the mafiosa, and how the mafia is changing face. People that you would not expect to be part of the mafia, part of organized crime, suddenly are. And it's a different, cleaner type of crime. One that is really hitting retailers hard. There are so many gangs, organized retail criminals out there, that many law enforcement agencies, state, local, and federal, have realized that this has really become a huge issue and they have stepped in. And we will be telling you more about that here in a few moments. Want to remind you also that Private Officer International does have a special LP unit, a loss prevention unit, which includes an organized retail crime segment. We have a training that is excellent for LP agents and shopping mall security officers. As part of the LP unit, the organized retail crime unit, you will get additional training, you will get additional news, you'll get general broadcast of wanted persons and crime activity in your area. You may want to join up, be part of it, if you are in the loss prevention retail security industry. Send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. We will be glad to get you more information. It's something that is just growing, and you just got to be part of it. It's just, boy, there's crime every which way, but if you are in retail security, you definitely need to be prepared. You definitely need to be trained. We'll be right back.
There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and I got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
Black Market Billions, Bloomberg's Hitha Prabhakar, tells the story of a $38 billion black market that helps fund global terrorism. Hitha, so you were a retail analyst, now you're a retail reporter.
Right.
How did you get on the trail of the black market?
Well, it was an interesting story. When I was first writing this book, it started with a situation where someone had offered me a handbag, which was clearly stolen. He had said to me, and it was all done over instant message, do you want to buy a handbag? One was for $300, one was for $400, one was the Givenchy handbag, which the markup on that is, you know, up to $1,200.
Okay, as we say, Givenchy, is that's
yeah,
out of my price range.
Really,
you
know, yeah, right, but when you think of it, you know, this is a brand name bag. You sell the Barney's for $1,200, and then the other one was a Lanvin handbag, this French designer. That one sold for $1,400 at Barney's. And as I inquired more about it, there's no way that this bag was going to sell for $300 unless it was stolen or fake. And as I inquired more about it, he finally came through and said, well, yes, this is actually from a stolen organized retail crime ring that was happening out of the store. They were stealing this merchandise from the floor.
So basically what it is they send these teams of people to specific stores to steal specific items.
Yes.
And they try to sell them on the black market. That's basically how the organized crime element of
exactly.
Work,
right? And it's not just, as I found out through this, doing this research, it's not just handbags. It's everything from Crest White strips to beauty products, all the way up to drugs. And when I mean drugs, I mean prescription
pharmaceuticals,
drugs, and handbags and luxury items. So it really runs the gamut. And in fact, the smaller items like the Crest White strips and the beauty products, those are even easier because they're so expensive. When you go in the store, sometimes they cost upwards of $40. They just swipe them off the tables and off the shelves, put them in bags that are lined with tin foil. There's a group of four people. They make out, you know, out of the store with them, and that's almost $1,000 worth of merchandise for one store. So you can imagine that. Multiply that by 10 stores that they're hitting in one day. I mean, and then multiply it by a couple weeks. I mean, they're making close to $40,000-$50,000 just in a couple weeks of stolen merchandise.
So I know in my walk from here to the train tonight on my way home, I'm going to pass at least 3 or 4 different vendors out there selling handbags or ties, mm-hmm, or all these other things, and I might think, this is a great deal. I can get this thing, you know, a new computer bag for $5. What's wrong with that as a consumer?
Well, my answer to that is that if it is that less expensive, it's probably a deal. It's probably too good to be true, and that's what I tell everyone. A $5 computer bag, especially if it's a brand name, I mean, you see these luggage carriers, Tumi, for example, or, you know, they go for, you know, hundreds of dollars. So if you're seeing a luggage out there that's, you know, for way less than that, 80%, 90% off, more than likely
it's stolen. I think it was Travel Pro, because I remember I was like, oh, that's a good deal.
Travel Pro,
right.
Yeah, so you actually saw one.
I did. I think this is a real world example, and I thought I should get that, but then I didn't for whatever reason. So if I had gotten it, should I feel guilty about it? I mean, again, it's hard for me to pass up a deal like that, right? For most of us, right?
Of course, and especially during the recession, you know, everyone was trying to save as much as they possibly could. Everyone was pretty uncertain as to what was going to happen in terms of employment, in terms of how much money they were going to make. So I think collectively as a society, especially here in the United States, everyone pulled back. I mean, you saw the consumer pull back. But in this sense, there's a responsible way to pull back and pinch pennies when you want to save a dime, or if you want to, you know, save on, you know, discretionary items that you're buying out there. For example, a computer bag or a ties or even jewelry.
A gift for my wife, exactly. Handbags,
exactly.
Jewelry.
Exactly. Coming out of a trunk and they're offering it to you, it's probably not legitimate. But in all seriousness, you know, really look at the product. You know, usually if a product is legitimate, it comes in proper packaging, whether it's Crest white strips, you know, and you're at a flea market and you're seeing and you know, the package is sort of damaged or it doesn't look quite right or some of the UPC codes are scraped off, you know,
right.
That may not be a proper, and that could actually even cause health problems if you do that. But, you know, looking at clothing too, if you're looking at the merchandise and it's not coming in a proper package or if it doesn't feel right, or again, the price, I always drill down this point, it's the price. If you're seeing it online and it's significantly less than what you're seeing it at market value, the deal.
Well, you make a great point, because obviously here in New York, there are people on the streets all the time. Most of our viewers and most Americans maybe are finding these deals online,
right.
And even some of these sites, which eBay is a legitimate site, Craigslist is very legitimate, but there might be people on there selling stuff that's illegitimate.
Right, and I should say, too, eBay has really taken measures to control that. They've, you know, implemented new restrictions. They're being very careful about who sells now. They've really taken a proactive approach to this. But, again, as you said, there are sites out there like Craigslist and Alibaba, and also these other sites, you know, they're maybe not even as well-known, just that look like legitimate sites that might be selling this merchandise.
How do you draw obviously you researched this book deeply, but how do you draw the line between a guy like me buying his wife a present on the streets to it going to fund global terrorism?
Well, and it is a very, like, long money trail. You know, it doesn't, you know, the dollar doesn't get exchanged, and all of a sudden you're seeing that money go directly to, you know, in the hands of terrorists. I mean, it's not that direct. But what it does do is that there are people that are associated to these terrorist groups that are selling this illegal merchandise, and they're using your hard-earned money to put that money into the hands of terrorist groups that they might have an association with. So, yes, you buy an item on the street. You think you're getting a good deal. It's going into the hands of someone who maybe oversees a warehouse that sells that item. That guy or that woman may have a family association or a group association to a bigger a group that has affiliate ties to Hezbollah, to Al-Qaeda, to a Marxist terrorist group in Mexico. And that's where I wanted to show people, yes, when you do that exchange right away, it might not be that direct, but as you see that money trail go, that is where, in some cases, that's where it's going to.
That piece, that sound bite, that interview with the investigative reporter, the retail and reporter specialist based in New York City, clearly shows the huge problem. When you think about the mafia, what do you think of? Most people think of the Godfather or the New York or Chicago crime bosses of the 60s and 70s. Images of stuffy Italian men with machine guns and plates of spaghetti. While the movie did portray it this way, they were and they are many differences in the mafias and the organized crime families then and today. Mafia basically means an association of criminals, a group, organized structure, sort of like a gang. It did originate in Sicily, in Italy. The mafias of the old time were ruthless. They were organized. They were involved in shakedowns. They ran prostitution, gambling, drugs, fraud, money laundering, and so much more. They even had many politicians and law enforcement in their pockets. Well, today, we still have mafia. We still have organized crime. We still have gangs. And they are as dangerous as they were in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. But today, there's a different, more modern mafia out there. We're faced with a mafia that is operating totally different. It's still an organized crime family, still an organized crime unit, but they have extended their reach and they have begun organizing into retail crime, organized retail crime. For those of you who think that this is bogus or something for the movies, or maybe you haven't really been paying attention, as the reporter said, and as law enforcement, including the Department of Homeland Security and several federal agencies last year, directly linked organized retail crime to the Mexican cartel, Muslim terrorist groups, and homegrown terrorists. As the reporter stated in the last soundbite, no, it's not that clear cut. It's not a direct link. They go through multiple channels, multiple hands, but the money eventually ends with those type of organizations. Not all of it, but a large amount has been found to be funding terrorists and the Mexican drug cartel. Retail theft has fast become an easy score, an easy hit, as many serious organized criminals see it as an easy, lucrative, and profitable venture to get into. Think of it this way. Drug dealers, they have a business. Drug dealing is a business. But they also have a huge overhead. Like any other business, they have to pay to grow the product, to process it, to ship it, and distribute it. They have drugs is their product of choice. But it doesn't come free. They have to pay people, growers. Then they have to pay people to process it, especially if it's cocaine. They have to process it there. They have to ship it from South America through Mexico and the U.S. They have to distribute it, as would any company, any organization, legitimate company, would have to go through the same method, the same channels to get their product out to the consumer. But there's tons of overhead, tons of payroll, people that you have to pay, tons of expenses tied in with drug dealing. But true organized retail criminals have found an easier, a more direct, a cleaner crime. And it's almost 100% pure profit. With retail crime, there is no growing the product. It's not marijuana. They don't have to find some forest or other location to grow the crop. They don't have to cut it down and process the marijuana or the cocaine. They don't have to ship it any place. All they have to do is distribute it. And that's as easy as pie. Many large, small, and regional organized retail crime groups operate in a very profitable margin. Many hire local street thugs, dope heads, homeless people, gang wannabes, members of the criminal element who have a drug problem. And for a few bucks or few pieces of crack, they employ them to prowl retail stores in cities, states, and even travel within multiple state regions, hitting store after store after store. True organized retail crime gangs, organizations, businesses will hit 10, 12, 15 stores a day, and they will go from one store to the other and make it their job. They will get up like you and I in the morning preparing for work, and they will hit the interstate. They will hit the road, and they will go from Sam's Club to Walmart to Costco to Kmart to JCPenney, Macy's, Belk's, you name it. And they will hit one after the other. Tomorrow, they'll start over again in a different area, same type of stores. Some organized retail criminals will hit one or two chains, big box stores, because they are familiar with the layout. They are familiar with where the fire exits are. They are familiar where the product is shelved or hung. They know the store layout better than the employee or the manager of the store because they have cased it. They have worked it time and time again. And they, unfortunately, know the setup, the system of the retailer. They know how to look out for security. They know what security looks like in many cases. They know that in this down economy, many stores have depleted their staff. They have barely bare-bone staffing these days in most stores. I was recently in a store, couldn't find an employee on the whole floor, large office supply. I finally had to go to the cashier, who couldn't leave to help. And this is something that organized criminals take advantage of. Most professional shoplifters do not shoplift during the Christmas season. And if they do, it's during the lowest peak of the season. Usually in the early morning, late afternoon, when there's the least amount of shoppers on the floor. They don't want a bunch of people around. They want to do their business, get in and out. These teams, whether they're national, regional, or local, will wipe out product in seconds. They will take everything that is easy to sell and leave everything else behind. If today's big thing are jeans, they will steal 50 or 100 pairs at a time and then be gone until next week when it's your turn again. They'll be back. It's very easy to sell this merchandise in so many different places. These are professional shoplifters. And they make it look easy. They really do.
Think of shoplifting as a petty crime, stealing small items for personal gain. But there is more to it. It's also about organized retail crime, gangs of shoplifters who are targeting stores in Colorado. The losses are enormous, $500 million a year in our state alone, $30 to $50 billion nationwide. 9 Wants to Know investigator Will Ripley joins us from the state capitol, where this issue will soon be addressed in the legislature. Will?
Kyle, tomorrow a Colorado lawmaker will lay out his plan to change the law and crack down on these shoplifting gangs. As we've seen recently, they are smarter, faster, and more violent. The items you pay for are the same items they steal. From health and beauty to baby formula to batteries,
there's a long list of products preferred by shoplifters.
We've seen them steal up to $2,000 or $3,000 within minutes.
We're not allowed to use his real name, so we'll call him Tom. He's an organized retail crime investigator.
This is a dangerous job.
Yes, it is.
Tom is not a police officer. He works for a major grocery chain. All the big stores hire people like Tom who operate like undercover cops.
Been stabbed or had a gun pulled on them or had them try to run over them with a car.
Already this year, there have been two incidents in Colorado where shoplifters blasted guards with pepper spray while making a run for it. Law enforcement calls it a troubling sign. Organized retail crime rings are becoming more brazen.
They're desperate.
Lakewood Police Chief Kevin Paletta was on a task force to fight organized retail crime.
Everybody's the victim in these types of cases.
Paletta says once an item is stolen, it's tough to trace.
There's several outlets where these items wind up. Flea markets are an example.
The Mile High Marketplace in Adams County is the largest year-round outdoor flea market in Colorado. Vendors caught selling stolen or counterfeit items are kicked out and reported to the authorities.
Many very legitimate people are selling items at the flea market, so somebody who's doing it illegally, they can sort of blend in with the people that are there legitimately.
We went undercover with Tom and another investigator as they searched for stolen items.
This is from Walmart.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, from
Walmart. Oh, it's got a CVS sticker on. That's weird.
We bought two brand-name face lotions from two different vendors for a fraction of the retail price. You can see the boxes still have security stickers.
We strongly believe could be stolen products.
Both vendors denied selling stolen items. One of them, Yanni Stadler, agreed to sit down with us and prove it.
You can see the security tag on here, so how do we know that this wasn't stolen?
I've provided you with two receipts.
Stadler says she bought the lotion from Safeway in 2007. She says she has been approached to buy stolen items, but always says no.
It's hurting other legitimate vendors out there. It causes prices to go up for everybody.
Proving an item was stolen is difficult. Unless you have video like this. An organized retail crime investigator posed as a shoplifter.
$100
and sold a bag full of items to a convenience store located near the state capitol.
I give you $15.
The camera shows the clerk handing over cash. We went ourselves, and the clerk told us they're not allowed to buy stolen products.
Do people ever come in here and offer to sell you guys?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
I would just send them out.
You send them out? Have you guys ever purchased goods from
shoplifters?
Because we have it on video happening. So it's not a regular practice here to buy stolen items?
No, we're not allowed to.
Okay.
If somebody does, it gets fired right away.
When you're opening something out of a package that's selling for 1/10 of what it would in a store, there's a high likelihood that it's stolen.
Paletta says shoplifting has been tied to violent crimes like assault, as well as human trafficking and drug smuggling.
It's many times a gateway crime to much larger criminal enterprises.
There's even a case out of Texas where an organized retail crime ring was sending money to the Middle East. Investigators found strong ties to the terror group Hezbollah.
No doubt about it. Retail crime is on the rise. No doubt about it. Retail crime is becoming more and more dangerous. It used to be that when you stopped a professional shoplifter who generally was working on their own without ties to other organizations, gangs, or groups, they were very calm. They were the least likely to put up a fight because they knew they'd be in and out of the system in a matter of a few hours. But that's not the case anymore. Out of the 29 security officers injured in the last few days, 33 as of today, more than 65% were retail, either loss prevention agents or mall shopping security officers who were shot at, or stabbed. We are seeing a dramatic increase in armed confrontations during shoplifting. Why is that? Well, if you're working for a gang, if you're working for the mafia, if you're working for an organized criminal family, they don't want you caught because they know the chances are good that you may turn tail. You may turn state's evidence against them. So they, I'm sure, have told all of their so-called staff, don't get caught. Get out whatever it takes. Be prepared to do whatever you have to escape. And more shoplifters are coming to the store, doing their business armed. Just the other day, 4 women caught shoplifting, pulled a handgun, fired off numerous rounds at security agents as they ran for their cars. Luckily, no one was hit, but they could have been. They could have been injured. They could have been killed. This is a growing concern. It should be a huge growing concern for the LP agents, boss, for the retailers as a whole, because 99.9% of all security agents, loss prevention agents, mall security officers, are not armed. They have no defensive weapons. Most LP agents are not even allowed to carry pepper spray. We're dealing with a totally different mentality of shoplifters. We're dealing with a totally different caliber of professional thieves these days. They are in it to win it. Bottom line, they are in it to get what they have come to get and to get out of there whatever it takes. If it means hurting or even killing a security agent, oh well, so be it. If it means, you know, running someone down, oh well, so it is. They don't care anymore, and you have no way to possibly defend yourself. What will it take for retailers to understand that we're dealing with different type of professional thieves? They are truly part of the modern day mafia. As a retail security agent, investigator, officer, there are many duties that you have within the store. You have to contend with your everyday shoplifter. You have to be aware of internal theft. You have to deal with the other retail crimes, the bad checks, the fraudulent credit cards, the occasional disturbance or other criminal activity within the store. But organized retail crime must become your top priority. It must become what your number one job and duty is, because while you're chasing after a $10 shoplifter who may have, you know, this is their first time, someone across the store is lifting several thousand dollars of merchandise and they're walking right out. And you're never going to observe them. You're never going to have a chance to catch them because you're too busy chasing after that $5 or $10 shoplifter. Am I saying don't stop the shoplifter just because of the dollar amount? Am I telling you don't do your job? No, I'm not. What I'm saying is you need to take more time looking for signs of professional shoplifting. You need to be on the floor as much as you are in the office and watching those hot spots, whether it be HBA, home and health beauty aids, whether it be baby formula, whether it be electronics. Hey, in my area, we just had a female arrested who had been hitting Target and Walmarts walking out with two large screen, flat screen TVs at a time, never questioned, never stopped, never caught, until finally a police officer spotted her, asked her for her receipt. If it hadn't been for that officer, she would have gotten away for about the fifth or sixth or tenth time. Police say she was a professional shoplifter who quickly turned that product, that shoplifting incident, into quick cash. Can you imagine? Two big screen TVs, $300-$500 each, quickly selling them for $200. That's a pretty good profit, seeing that they had no overhead to begin with. Professional shoplifting, you need to make it a number one priority in every retail store.
Investigators found strong ties to the terror group Hezbollah.
We have seen their behavior escalate.
Beware of what you're buying.
You're actually supporting and sustaining this criminal enterprise.
A global crime on the rise right here in Colorado.
Lakewood police recently broke up an organized crime ring from El Salvador, and they're investigating ties to drug and human trafficking. Now, the legislation that will be introduced here tomorrow would allow law enforcement to group these crimes together, possibly even charge them under the Organized Crime Act. Kyle, the bottom line here is that this is something that investigators say will only get worse unless shoplifting is taken more seriously.
A serious crime indeed that they want to take in a more serious way. Will Ripley, thank you. Crime Stoppers is standing by in the 9 News Information Center this evening to take your calls with your anonymous tips on...
Organized crime, definitely in some rings, some areas, are tied in with terrorist groups. And just recently, they have received the attention of numerous law enforcement agencies. And while it's no easy task for you, the individual LP agent, to spot, to know, to decipher who is and who is not connected, the bottom line here is to do your job as you normally would, but be on heightened alert for the more frequent shopper who's in the store and often leaves under cover, walking out without anyone seeing them. Be alert for merchandise, high-ticket merchandise, leaving. Don't be afraid to investigate, to ask questions, to look for receipts. Organized retail crime will not go away. It will only increase. As the front line to this organized crime, you as the loss prevention agent will need to heighten your alert, become more keen on spotting what is suspicious and what may be organized retail crime. You'll need to network. And I know a lot of times we don't like to network with our competitors. Macy's, they don't like calling JCPenney or Belk's. Walmart doesn't like calling Kmart and saying, hey, we've got an issue over here. We've got a problem. You might have one too. But when I was in loss prevention, we did call. We had a system. We notified not only our own stores, but other stores in the area, and we had a good network going on. And as organized retail crime continues to develop, continues to expand, you'll need to do it as well. You'll need to begin networking, sending information, photos, video. The great thing about today, as compared to when I was in loss prevention, the technology is so much better. We did, toward the end of my LP career, have cameras and video recording, but nothing as sophisticated as today. So the advantage that you have working in loss prevention today is that technology has really been increased, really been stepped up, so that it really will help you to document very quickly and very easily the information, the evidence, you know, who the suspects are, pictures, video, and quickly disseminate, quickly communicate that with your colleagues in the area as well as your own store system. In this business, you're only going to win if you outsmart the thief. Unfortunately, it's a cat and mouse. It's a wait and see type game. You know that. Just like with any other shoplifter. Except now, you're playing for a bigger piece of the pie. You're playing for a bigger recovery, a bigger theft. You're playing against the big boys in many cases. You'll need to step up your game. You'll need to begin to network with law enforcement, area retailers, prosecutors, and other organized retail criminal investigators. It's a much more serious business. Modern day mafia, it's real, folks. It's something that is out there and is not going away. Next week in part two of Modern Day Mafia, we will be talking about the prosecution, how many states are stepping up their laws, about law enforcement and how they're dealing with it. And we'll also be looking at the distribution points of stolen merchandise. Thank you for joining me today on the LP Zone, where it's all about loss prevention. Join us on Monday night for our regular weekly security radio broadcast on the Private Officer Network, and on Tuesday for the conference for women in security, and also join us for our five-part how to be a person of influence and how to be a more professional you. That's all for today. Be safe, be blessed, and we will see you right back here on the radio this coming Monday night.